Good evening, everybody. Thank you. Hi. My name. Thank you. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been milling over the readings that we've had, all seven of them. There's an option for eight. I let you off easy tonight. But when I thought about them, I saw them fall into four distinct categories. We have creation, covenant, conversion. I couldn't find another C, salvation. So the first reading was from the book of Genesis. Started out in the beginning, Genesis 1. And this creation account tells us some very interesting things about God and about ourselves. Tells us, first of all, that there is a God, and God created the heavens and the earth. It tells us that we have this role in this creation and this relationship with God. It's interesting today because there seems to be, in some circles, a battle between science and religion. But it doesn't have to be. In fact, if you read Genesis real carefully and look at science real carefully, we're both saying the same things. We use a little bit more poetic language. And they have a little bit more scientific language. But if you look at the creation account, where does life begin? In the water. Then it moves, evolves, to the land. Then it goes up into the air. And then we see that we human beings have this real special relationship with God. God tells us we have dominion over the earth. It doesn't mean that we are called to dominate the earth, to use the earth. No, we are stewards of the earth. God has given us this gift to cherish it and to see God himself in creation and God himself in each other. But this special relationship, these rights that we come with, come also with responsibilities. We see that in Genesis 22. With covenant that God has made with Abraham. God says to Abraham that you are going to be the father of many nations. But God, we're told, tests Abraham. He says, are you willing to do anything? Well, it seems like Abraham was. After years, after decades of waiting for a son, the heir to his dynasty, the heir to his kingdom, Abraham finally has Isaac. Then God turns around and says, okay, give him back. I want you to sacrifice him to me. Fathers, mothers, imagine if God said to you, take your child and go and sacrifice him or her. Okay, now some of you, some of the kids, I get it, but the ones you like. Just kidding. So Abraham was willing to do anything for God, and God abundantly blessed him. Jump ahead. We're now at Exodus. The Jews have been enslaved for 400 years, and God says, yes, we are in a covenant. I have not forgotten about you. I will come to save you from your slavery. And God does that. And he takes them out of Egypt. The Egyptians follow. The 10 plagues weren't enough for them to say, guess what? These people are mine. You don't necessarily have to be one of my people, but let my people go. And when the Egyptians try to follow, they are wiped out. So now we see this covenant. But what happens when the people leave, then heading for the promised land? They're in the desert, and things get tough. Yes, they are freed from physical slavery, but now spiritual slavery starts to creep in. They start to long for that physical slavery because things in the desert weren't that pleasant. I lived in Arizona for 5 years. It's tough. And there were no Circle K's back then when it got hot. So they grumble, they complain, They walk away from God. They worship false idols. They finally come to this point where they realize that, you know what? God is the one who's leading us. So now we have conversion. We move now to the prophets. We had Ezekiel, Baruch, and Isaiah. I'm taking them out of order from the way you've heard them. In Ezekiel, it talks about this inner conversion, this talk about needing to walk away from false idols. We think of false idols as false gods, but it could be anything. Anything we put in front of God can become an idol. Then Baruch talks about the law being a gift from God. Today we want to rebel against the law, saying that it limits our freedom. But I've preached on this before, and for those of you who haven't heard it, it's about 20 minutes. Just hold on. No. The law helps us. The law protects us. The law makes sure that we are all treated equally. This law brings about prudence, is what Baruch talked about. Prudence is that right mindset that lets us know what is good and helps us to understand how we are to achieve it. Then finally in Isaiah, he talks about that God will provide. Now, I used to think when I was growing more in the faith that God will provide, I kept saying, okay, God, I just want six numbers. That's all I need. I'm not asking for a lot. Just six numbers. They haven't come in yet. But now I've come to realize that all I need is God. I get that now. Everything else that I have in my life is extra. But it's that relationship with God that helps me. So now we've gone. We're at the conversion stage. Now we look towards salvation. And salvation happens when we see in today's gospel the resurrection from the dead. The disciples hear that Christ has risen from the dead. He's gone to Galilee. There he will meet you. And they are excited. You can imagine as we sort of journey with them in time, they're thinking, great, he's back from the dead. But then St. Paul's letter to the Romans helps us to unpack, to see just exactly what God is offering us. God isn't just offering us life in this world, but eternal life. St. Paul writes to the Romans, we know that the old self was crucified with him so that our sinful body might be done away with and we might no longer be in slavery to sin. Ah, that's that true freedom that God offers us. Yes, God offers us freedom from slavery, from the world, if we truly detach and understand the beauty of the world, but understand that we should own the world shouldn't own us. But today we have this beautiful freedom, and that is freedom from the slavery of sin. So St. Paul ends his letter by saying, you must too think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Jesus Christ. So today, eight of you among us are going to make that bold proclamation to say that I want to die to the world. I want to die to sin, and I want to live for Christ when you are baptized in the waters of that wonderful baptismal font we have here. Eight others will come into full union with the church saying, yes, I want to receive our Lord in the Eucharist. Yes, I want to confirm that beautiful faith that we have. So today's scripture readings apply to all of our lives, no matter where we are in that journey, whether at the beginning, in the conversion, maybe we're in that straying phase, maybe we're coming back to realize what the prophets are saying. Maybe we're there where every day we wake up and say, thank you, God, I am a sinner. Thank you for redeeming me. So tonight, the beautiful story of salvation continues to unfold for all of us. Some of us in a very special way through baptism, but from all of us as we say yes to God, yes to his love, and yes to our freedom from sin.